Here with me I have Tom Hurdle with Purdue University. And Tom, your presentation here focused on how global energy policies can impact poverty. I thought that was a very interesting topic. First of all, just tell me how you kind of go about figuring that out.
It is a complex issue, and there are two views of the world on this. One view of the world, and I'd say the one that most people think of, is more biofuels means more demand for agricultural products, higher prices. The poor spend a lot of their money on food, and this would hurt the poor. So that's I'd say, the prevalent opinion in the media. There's a flip side to that, and higher agricultural prices means higher returns to agriculture. And it happens that a disproportionate number of the poor live in rural areas, so they can stand potentially to benefit from higher agricultural returns. So it's kind of a horse race between the earnings side, how their incomes might be affected, and the spending side, and has a lot to do with where the poor are concentrated. So we looked in particular at 16 countries in Africa, Asia, and Latin America, and we actually obtained the household survey data from those countries that permitted us to find out how the population, how the poor earn their money and how they spend it. And we combined that with a global trade analysis to figure out how the prices might be affected. Combining those two analyses, we were able to make some projections about how the poor would be affected, and across countries and across groups within countries.
Well, I know you mentioned the complexity of this, and I think it all is. And it's really hard for a lot of people in the media to try to summarize this quickly and concisely, because I'm going to guess that when you look at this kind of a broad array of different countries, that things true in one country aren't necessarily in another, or did you find some commonality there?
It's a good point. One reason for looking at 16 countries is to avoid making drawing a conclusion from one very convincing country case study that applies to all developing countries. And we are focused here on developing countries that have a substantial number of people living at less than a dollar per day in income. So that it really is substantial, harsh poverty. So in these 16 countries, what we can generalize is that the indeed, as we might have anticipated, when we take into account the earnings and consumption effects and also potential changes in tax policies, that the households that are predominantly employed in agriculture experience poverty reduction. And in some countries, particularly Southeast Asia, because the poor tend to be heavily concentrated in rural areas, that reduces poverty across the board at the national level. Different groups affected differently, but here you're benefiting a group where the poverty that's disproportionately representative of the poor. In Latin America, where the poverty tends to be more concentrated in urban areas, we saw the opposite, that the adverse effect on the urban poor and the households depending mainly on government transfer payments, such as Brazil, those poor households, amongst those households, poverty tended to increase. And tended to increase nationwide because of the importance of those groups. So a bit of a mixed picture, but that's about what one can say.
Well, and it sounds like that's information that would be very good for policymakers to have in those countries when they are making policy decisions.
Yeah. I mean, part of the point is to avoid knee-jerk reactions where you just generalize from one country to the world or from one case study to the world, or say that this is going to increase poverty worldwide. Certainly there have been a lot of concerns about food prices and the poor in the last couple of years because of the food price run-up. And there is evidence that is been very difficult for a lot of low-income households. There's a short-run and long-run as well effect in this. We've seen prices go up and they come down again. And in this analysis, we've tried to focus on the medium-run effects, that is, over several years' time, rather than following the blips in the market up and down. Hopefully it will be useful input to policymakers as they go forward and try to evaluate the impact, the broader impacts of biofuels.
Well, I think an interesting perspective for Americans who largely are not on the farm anymore, and yet we do have such a high standard of living, which I know isn't the focus of the countries you're looking at, but still something for us to keep in mind, because policies we make here will affect people in other countries too.
Yeah, and affects our food prices as well, as we've discovered, although it isn't as significant as you say. But keeping in mind the impacts of what we do, the global impacts of what we do, and keeping in mind the impact of global developments, whether it's growth in China or slowdown in other countries, how that affects us, that's part of being having more of a globalized outlook. And I think it's very important in the United States for us to move in that direction.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for taking a few minutes to speak with me here at this Farm Foundation Transition to a Bioeconomy Conference. I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.